is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads, practice like the pros this July with our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market. Save up to $4,000 on multi-unit orders in the month of July. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Coach Pascal Meurs from Belgium, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
If you're looking to improve your coaching, please consider joining the Hoopheads mentorship program. We believe that having a mentor is the best way to maximize your potential and become a transformational coach. By matching you up with one of our experienced mentors, you'll develop a one-on-one relationship that will help your coaching, your team, your program, and your mindset. The Hoopheads mentorship program delivers mentoring services to basketball coaches at all levels through our team of experienced head coaches. Find out more at hoopheadspod.com or shoot me an email directly, mike@hoopheadspod.com. Follow us on social media at hoopheadspod on Twitter and Instagram, and be sure to check out the Hoopheads Podcast Network for more great basketball content. Prepare like the pros with the all-new FastDraw and FastScout. FastDraw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off FastDraw and FastScout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads Podcast. It's Mike Klintzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. I am coming at you live from Snow Valley Basketball Camp in Waverly, Iowa. Jay, miss you out here.
Yeah, I wish I could be out there. It's just there was too much uncertainty with my schedule this summer. And originally I was supposed to be in New Hampshire this week, but things happened and now I'm at home. It's a heat wave over here. I don't know how it is over there. Is it super hot?
It was 93 when we got here. So yeah, it's pretty hot.
And it's pretty dry, or it's pretty humid heat, if I remember correctly, right? It's pretty humid.
Yeah, last year we got here and we drove in to Iowa. It was a tornado. And when we got here, all the coaches were sequestered down in the basement of the dorm. And this year, the weather was a lot nicer.
Well, remember, it was hot. Like the year we left, the year I was there, the tree fell down on the...
Right.
Yeah, because of the weather. And then...
This year was uneventful.
I have one question for you.
Sure.
Did you stop at the world's biggest truck stop?
We will stop there on the way home. We did not stop. Last year, we stopped on the way back. We did not stop there on the way in. The timing on the way into town isn't good, but on the way out, we'll hit lunch after we do the awards ceremony at like 12 on Saturday.
Did you get any Sparrow or were they out of cheese?
They had cheese at Sparrow. So my son Cal was excited because he's like, I think this is the same one we stopped at before. So I got a burger, and the other two, my son and his buddy, went to Sparrow. And yes, they did have cheese, so we were good to go.
That's a little inside joke. I'll just leave it at that.
A little inside joke, yeah. Let's leave it there. When you go to Sparrow and they don't have cheese, that is a problem. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to do – because Mike's in Iowa, and he's got to get some stuff done, and he's got a long few days ahead of him. We're going to keep this short tonight, and there's really two main topics that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Donovan Mitchell, and we're going to talk about the conference call between the meeting of the minds. Let's start with the meeting of the minds. Let's start there. Listen.
Let's start with Donovan. Let's start with Donovan Mitchell and go to the meeting. Let's start with Donovan. I want to leave the meeting of the minds for last because that to me is,
comical.
Just, as you described it, laughing, that's exactly how I would describe it. But let's go Donovan Mitchell first.
Okay. So So basically, the main thought we have is, where is Donovan Mitchell going to end up? And I think before we started recording, I was completely honest with Mike, and I've been really out on like listening to pods, and you know, Simmons isn't doing pods for like a month. He's taking a month off. He's on sabbatical or something. I don't exactly. So anyway,
so what you're trying to say is we're more dedicated than Bill Simmons.
Oh yeah.
We're gonna keep cranking them out 3 a week.
Yeah. Anyways, what I'm gonna say is, I think the only place that I've ever heard him linked to was the Knicks. I feel like that's got to be the team. I don't exactly know what the Knicks will give up for him. I don't know what they should give up for him. But it seems like that's where all signs are pointing, based on my very little research that I did tonight. When you called and gave me the two topics we were going to talk about, it seemed like everything was pointing to the Knicks. I couldn't really get a grasp on what they would have to give up or what would make it even. I don't know if you have a better grasp on that, but it seems like all signs are pointing to the Knicks. I think there's no chance he's a Jazz player at the end of the or beginning of the season, right?
It doesn't feel like it. It feels like they want to get rid of him, obviously, after having gotten rid of Rudy. It makes, I think, very little sense to hold on to Donovan Mitchell if he's going to be your best player. I was just having a conversation with friend of the pod, Eric Bueller, from Chatfield Senior High School in Colorado, who is somebody that's made a lot of appearances on the roundtable episodes. And you and I were just talking, and I told him, I said, I don't think, is Donovan Mitchell the best player on a championship team? And he and I both agreed that the answer to that was no. And I said, I'm not even sure if he's the second best player on a championship team with his defensive, easy for me to say, defensive deficiencies. So I look at it and I think that, as you said, New York seems like it's the most likely spot. Basically what I've heard is the Knicks have three first round picks from other teams that all have some degree of protections on them. I think the best one of those picks, I forget which team, I know they have one from the Bucks. I think they have one from Dallas maybe, and there's another pick in there, but I think the best of those picks would only end up being probably at like 9 or 10 is the best that any of those picks could be. So the thought would be that those picks aren't very valuable, so that Utah would probably want the Knicks' actual picks as opposed to those first round picks being routed through other teams. Now they might want those picks too, and they're probably going to want pick swaps, and it seems like the way that the current trade market is that you're going to have to throw in a lot of draft equity. And then from a player standpoint, the Knicks have Emmanuel Quickley, they have Quentin Grimes, they have Obi Toppin. So are those the kind of guys that the Jazz would want in return? RJ Barrett, there's discussions whether or not A, the Knicks would want to give up RJ Barrett, and then B, would the Jazz want RJ Barrett because he's eligible for an extension? So would the Jazz want to bring in Barrett and then immediately have to more than likely pay him a max contract? So there's some thought that New York wouldn't want to give him up, but maybe Utah really doesn't want him. So that may or may not be a deal breaker depending on how either team feels. Seems like Mitchell wants to go to New York. Clearly, I'm guessing with Danny Ainge in charge, as I said earlier, Utah, after having dealt away Gobert, it doesn't seem like it makes much sense to build around Donovan Mitchell as your capstone guy. And if you're Utah, you're clearly not attracting a free agent number one guy to come in and play with Donovan Mitchell. So I'm not sure really what you have if you stand pat with Mitchell and then try to retool the roster around him. So I think it's likely, as you said, that he's dealt, that he's not a member of the Utah Jazz. New York seems like the most likely destination. And I think the other places that I heard were at least possibilities. Miami, if they don't get Durant, you're basically looking at the same package sort of that they're offering for Durant, some version of it, where you're giving up Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, and then a bunch of draft equity. Does that make sense for Utah? Does that make sense for Miami? I don't know. Donovan Mitchell's, I think, clearly an upgrade over Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson, but is he worth, does he make them an NBA title favorite?
No.
I don't think so. Now, again, you could make the argument that Miami was number one in the East this year. And so if you add Mitchell and basically you're replacing Hero with Mitchell because Duncan Robinson was a non-factor. Clearly, you're not giving up Bam in that deal like you was being discussed with the Durant trade, where there'd have to be all kinds of things with Simmons and Bam and the rookie extension and whatever. So you don't have to deal with that. So maybe Miami does that, thinking that upgrading that spot takes them one step closer to maybe being able to justify that number one seed and think that they can get back to the finals. Their Jimmy Butler missed three away from making it to the conference finals, or I'm sorry, making it to the NBA finals. So I never rule out Miami when it comes to this stuff, trying to attract stars. Clearly, that's a place where you'd have to think that Donovan Mitchell would consider going to Miami. It's one of the marquee cities and franchises. So I think that's a possibility. In the Eastern Conference, the only other team that I heard mentioned at all is Toronto. But if you're Toronto, I don't know what you're probably looking at a package of Siakam and then some other guys thrown in there, maybe Gary Trent, maybe some draft, maybe some draft picks. And so then you're building around Van Vliet, Ananobi maybe goes in that deal. I don't know. Clearly Scotty Barnes is the guy that Toronto wants to keep around. So you're then looking at your team being Donovan Mitchell and Scotty Barnes. Where does that get you? Is that really an upgrade over what they already have? Now, if you're getting Durant, maybe, but if you're getting Donovan Mitchell, I'm not sure that makes a whole lot of sense. I don't see Toronto doing that. To me, that doesn't seem like a Masai Ujiri move.
Honestly, that almost seems like a lateral move. I don't know how much better you get, right? Maybe better.
But maybe slightly better, but you're not vaulting yourself into title contention. And the only other team, honestly, that I've heard really mentioned at all, well, I guess there's two more teams. So the other two teams I've heard mentioned, somebody talked about, or I read somewhere, the Pelicans, that maybe they could do something centered around their draft picks. But again, I don't know what they're. I don't think you give. Maybe you give up Brandon Ingram for Durant, but I don't think you give up Brandon Ingram for Donovan Mitchell, especially not when you have CJ McCollum. And if you're Utah, you don't want a package centered around CJ McCollum because he's clearly older. So to me, that one doesn't make sense. And then the only other one is Dallas, and Dallas just doesn't have enough players or contracts or draft equity to be able to get him. I think they'd love to have Donovan Mitchell the same way they'd love to have Kyrie Irving. I just don't think they have enough with the Mavs to be able to do anything. They don't have the right mix of young players, and a lot of their draft equity went to New York, so they can't really trade very much for what Utah would be looking to bring in. So I don't think that, even though both of those teams might theoretically like to upgrade what they have with Donovan Mitchell, I don't think they have what it takes in order to be able to get that trade done. And then you look through the rest of the Western Conference, I don't really think there's any place else that makes sense. So to me, it's got to be New York or nothing, I think, based on what A, the need of the team that's trying to bring him in, and then B, what that team can offer to Utah, who's clearly going into a rebuild and a tank for this year, trying to get to the top of the draft and get Victor Wembanyama, who apparently is the prize for next year's NBA draft as the number one pick. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm going to guess he's going to New York, Mike. I'm willing to say that. I agree with you.
Yeah, I think that's where he ends up. I think that's ultimately where it falls.
Okay. It's time to talk about the great meeting.
Come on, this meeting can't be real. That can't be a real story.
Listen, and I don't understand why it came out. Like, whose PR team is putting this out? Well, it's got to be Russ's, right? Because LeBron's PR team was working the Drew League angle. They didn't need any of this other attention right now. I mean, I know we don't need to spend time analyzing him playing in the Drew League, but that video of the one thing on that Drew League, Mike, the video of the guy's eyes, that was pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Good. Yeah. Anyways, there's no way LeBron's putting that out there. There's zero chance it was LeBron because he doesn't want anything to do with Westbrook. Right?
Don't you think these guys all had to kind of sign off on, hey, let's put that out, put this out there?
No, I don't.
So you think Russ is further risking the ire LeBron and his camp?
Well, I think he's trying to play the angle that if he puts it out there, then they have to be, and then they deal him or whatever. Then it becomes a.
If you believe this is the George Costanza, if you believe it, it's not a lie.
Yeah. The people are gonna vilify LeBron for trading him. Listen, anyone that watched their team play last year realized that Russ needs to go if they want to win. I mean, it was pitiful. It's terrible. And I just don't know. I mean, AD, I didn't even know if AD has talked since the season ended. Like, I haven't heard a single word of him. Russ has been having fights with Skip Bayless. Because Skip Bayless calls him Westbrook. And then LeBron's been kind of doing his own thing with the Drew League and just, you know.
Snubbing Russ at some
He's been playing with a UCLA Bruin a lot. Not
Kevin
the one.
Love.
Yeah, he's
Kevin
been playing. Love. He's been hanging out with LeBron a lot. Him or Love a lot. You know, he went to Love's Kevin's Letting and all that. And so
let's do this. Can we approach it this way? Here's how I want to approach this. I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to ask you three questions.
Give me the first one.
They're all the same question, but just related to the three gentlemen who are involved in this particular meeting of the minds. How long is Russell Westbrook on the Lakers? How many more seasons does Russell Westbrook play for the Lakers?
Can I give you a maximum? Or do
just
I have
give
to?
Me a number? How just give me a just give me a number?
I,
how many
half
more?
A season.
Okay. All right. Okay. So you think he starts the year with the Lakers?
I think he'll
and then
start
what
the year. I think he'll start the year and then something will happen.
Can the Lakers buy him out?
I don't know. What's
does that make that? Any, does that make that doesn't do him any good though, right? Because that still counts against their cap, so I guess they're not going to do that. But he has to be traded in order to be bought out. I read where his agent was trying, right? He just switched agents, and his agent put out some type of statement basically saying that he didn't want Russ, or he was trying to argue for Russ not to become a trade candidate / buyout, because once he does that and becomes a buyout player that another team can sign for a minimum contract, that then in the league's mind he becomes a minimum contract player. Whereas if he sticks it out with the Lakers and somehow rehabilitates himself, or even if he doesn't rehabilitate himself, at least he's playing on his
big money contract,
his $47 million contract, and then people can still think that, hey, this guy could still be in the right situation. He could still be a guy that could help us or sell tickets or do something, which I'm not sure I believe any of that. But I would put it at – I'm going to put it at zero seasons. I think something happens. I don't know what. I don't know who's going to take him. But to me, it just seems untenable that you bring Russell Westbrook back after what we saw last year. And I can't believe that these guys really had a phone call where they all said, hey, we're going to try to figure it out, because – they had a whole season to try to figure it out. And clearly, as you said, it didn't work. So I'm going to put Russ's number of seasons with the Lakers at zero.
Okay, that was the first question.
Second question, Anthony Davis, how many more seasons with the Lakers?
Two.
Nice. That's a good answer, because that's exactly what I was going to say. I think what happens is Russ is gone.
LeBron's one more year.
AD and LeBron play this season out.
LeBron opts out.
And then LeBron opts out.
Comes back to Cleveland.
So LeBron 1 year, AD 2 years, and Russell Westbrook 0 years. I think we just solved it. I got one more question. If you had to put a number, odds that a year from now, LeBron James is a member of the Cleveland Cavaliers, what do you put those odds at?
60-40.
60? You think there's a 60% chance he's going to be a Cav?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Man. I can't go that high. I still, part of me wants to just dismiss it out of hand and say there's no way that's going to happen. But I don't see how this Lakers situation resolves itself in any way, shape, or form to the way that it makes sense for LeBron to continue to stay there. Because how do the Lakers get better? What's their pathway to becoming a title contender? How do they do that? And they just don't have the pieces in order to be able to bring in other pieces that can actually help this team win. Theoretically, if you could somehow get Brooklyn to take Russ's contract and bring back Kyrie, that at least gives you a 5% chance that everything works out perfectly. Kyrie becomes a functioning member of the team. Anthony Davis stays healthy and LeBron is at least as good as he was last year. Then maybe, maybe you have an opportunity to make some noise in the playoffs, but the odds of that happening have got to be next to nothing. And so short of that, I just don't see a pathway for the Lakers becoming competitive. And as much as LeBron wants to live in LA, I think he also wants to win championships. And I just don't see that happening with the Lakers, the way they're constructed now and the flexibility or lack thereof that they have moving forward. You could say, well, maybe they can trade Anthony Davis for something, but if Davis has a monster year this year, then maybe that's enticing to LeBron to stay if they're competitive. I mean, if Anthony Davis averages 30 and 14 this year and plays 65 games, the Lakers are probably going to be a lot better than they were last year.
Yeah.
But they're still not, I don't think, a title contender. And then if AD does that, are you really going to then trade him for what? You're probably going to get pennies on the dollar for the guy, and whatever you get back in return for him is not going to be enough to push what will then be, what, 39-year-old LeBron as an NBA titleist. I don't see it. I don't know what the pathway is. So therefore, you got to look at it and say, okay, maybe he's going to go somewhere else. And as crazy as it sounds, I know you talked about it last week, as crazy as it sounds, the Cavs young core plus LeBron gets really interesting. I'm still not 100% sure that I would want that to happen just because of the drama that goes along with LeBron. But let's put it this way. If LeBron were to become available, I think you said it last week, there's no way the Cavs say no to that.
Yeah, my dad thinks that there's no chance LeBron is back in Cleveland next year because he doesn't like to play with the young guys. And I was like, Dad, he's not going to have much of a choice.
Well, and the reality
he's everyone's young compared to him.
It depends too on what the Cavs do this year, right?
If this team
ends up finishing at the back half and they're in the play-in, or they finish 11 or 12 and they maybe underperform or somebody gets hurt, then I think it becomes a lot less likely. If this team were to grab a top six seed this year, which I don't think is out of the realm of possibility, I also don't think that if, let's say, Garland were to get hurt, I don't know where they are in that scenario, but it's not out of the realm of possibility that this team could be a top six seed in the East. And if they are, I think then it becomes a lot more likely that maybe LeBron looks at it and says, hey, I come back here and I was planning to finish my career as a Cavalier, maybe ceremoniously only, but the Cavs young core, if they have a good year this year, certainly could be enough to attract some attention. And then you'd have some guys with some playoff experience. And if the Cavs do get a top six seed, that means that clearly Garland has had another good year and Mobley's probably taken another step in his development. So that could be a type of team that maybe an aging LeBron says, hey, I got some guys on this team that are going to continue us to ascend and get better. And now I got something. So we'll see what happens.
We will have to wait and see.
There's our two topics. I have one more topic for you. It's not even a topic. It's just a question. And I know we talked about it a little bit last week, but we're a week further along. Colin Sexton, does he end up back with the Cavs on the qualifying offers?
I think so.
So you don't think they offer him any kind of extension, or you don't think he takes any kind of a extension shorter than
No.
Yeah, I agree, because I think what's going to happen, I think if you're Colin Sexton, you're looking at it and going, man, I had a great year 2 years ago, and I think he bets on himself. And if he comes back and has a great year, contributes to a winning team, then I think he prices himself probably out of what the Cavs want to offer him. And I think if he were to take an extension now, I think he'd probably be taking one that, if he plays well, is going to be clearly under market value. I think it'd be great for the Cavs if they could get him to sign even a two-year extension at a lower price point. But I think you're right. I think he bets on himself and rolls the dice that he's going to be able to get a longer-term contract with bigger money from somewhere else when he becomes an unrestricted free agent. I think from the Cavs' perspective, it's probably a gamble that's worth taking rather than locking this guy up long-term for the kind of money. They're clearly not going to give him a max. And so because of that, I think if you're Colin Sexton, you look at the year that you had 2 years ago, you're going to just say to yourself, hey, if I could play the way I'm capable of playing, I can get a lot more money than what I'm being offered here in Cleveland and maybe get to a different market and see what happens. So I think probably he's back this year, and then both sides reevaluate at the end of the year and see where the team's at, see where his performance is at, see where his injuries are, and then you go from there.
I agree. Well, we did it, Mike.
All right. How do we do on our time? Pretty good. A little long, but not too bad. So, hey, just wanted to say thanks to everybody for checking out this edition of the Hoopheads podcast. We appreciate you listening. As always, make sure you check out the interview episodes that we have coming up this past, Monday we had Brian Litvak, the CEO of League Apps, talking about U Sports and the direction that things are going. And then coming up Friday, we have Kevin McNamara, who is the girls basketball coach at Trinity High School here in the Cleveland area. And he is also the founder of Mac Basketball, a great AAU program in the city of Cleveland. So please check those episodes out. We appreciate you listening tonight. I am here at Snow Valley at some point. I'm still not sure what I'm going to do here, if I'm going to be able to record any interviews or not, but I'm sure I'm going to get to know some great coaches and just point us to some new guests. So thanks for listening tonight. Really appreciate it. And we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks. Your first impression is everything when applying for a new coaching job. A professional coaching portfolio is the tool that highlights your coaching achievements and philosophies, and most of all, helps separate you and your abilities from the other applicants. The Coaching Portfolio Guide is an instructional membership-based website that helps you develop a personalized portfolio. Each section of the Portfolio Guide provides detailed instructions on how to organize your portfolio in a professional manner. The guide also provides sample documents for each section of your portfolio that you can copy, modify, and add to your personal portfolio. As a Hoopheads Pod listener, you can get your Coaching Portfolio Guide for just $25. Visit coachingportfolioguide.com/hoopheads to learn more.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads Podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.